In the history of humanity, there have been many games, but only one can claim the title of the greatest of all. That game is hockey! Welcome to the ultimate celebration of that game, the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am your host, John Madden, and every week we will bring you the definitive word on this most sacred, most awesome, most electric of all human endeavors. Now, it's face-off time! It is playoffs. This is the playoff hockey broadcast, the best in the world, the most abrasive, in-your-face, and we do cuss. So beware. We'll be right back to start the show. Got a special guest. I'm gonna talk about hockey. That's what we do here. Drop the puck. Go get a beer. Put your feet up. Let's get ready to rumble.
Are you on the go? Running from glass to glass? Starting to get run down? Well, I have just the thing to open your eyes. The new energy food sensation, Monster Nuts! These big balls of nuts have the energy potential and cosmonautic strength of almonds, peanuts, pistachios, and peanuts, and all in two fat balls. So get to the campus bookstore and get some of these nuts. And as a special introductory offer, pick up two balls and a third comes free. Monster Nut! Monster Nut! Monster Nut! Monster Nut! Available wherever students are hungry and wherever you need more nuts. Another fine product from the people at Wishamco Products. Check us out online at www.monsternutsinyourmouth.com.
Monster Nuts!
Monster Nuts!
Did you see that? I saw that. I don't know if you saw it, but I know I saw it. Well, it's time now for the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast Recap of the Week. Let's find out what happened and what happened. All right, welcome to episode 3 of Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am John Madden, and this is the greatest game ever played by humans on planet Earth. All right, let's get to it. Recapping, LA Kings are up 3-0 on Vancouver. A shocker. Who would have thunk? However, Daniel Sedin is out. He was crushed and has not apparently been able to magically regenerate by using his powers with his psychic brother bond. They're down 3-0. Jonathan Quick has been phenomenal. 41 saves last night to make a 1-0 shutout. Hang on to their fingernails, but hey, a win at the end of the day is a win. San Jose and St. Louis have turned into total savages. Unbelievable. Brent Burns, you're a scumbag with the elbow to the back of the head. You're going to elbow somebody, at least have the dignity and sportsmanship to do it in their face. You chicken shit backstabber. Oh, and Gagliardi, go back to the Avalanche, because that's the way you're playing. St. Louis, however, Roman Polak whipping some ass, and St. Louis has tied it up 1-1. Chicago versus Phoenix. Chicago, I will not say that the entire team should take the blame for what Shaw did to the goalie of Phoenix, which was to come around the back of the net, throw the shoulder into the head, and deliberately try an assassination move. I will say that guy gets suspended 3 games at least. That was just unacceptable. And that brings us to Detroit versus Nashville. Nashville, Shea Weber needs a mouthful of teeth. They're up 2-1. They won yesterday by getting 1/10 of the calls that Detroit got for doing the same thing Detroit was doing, only worse. Thank you, Gary Bettman. Your filthy fix is in, and 1/10 of a second difference, it would have been tied. But coulda, shoulda, woulda, 2-1 Nashville. One more game at the Joe. Ottawa versus the Rangers, tied 1-1. Rangers, acting like the typical New Yorker, are behaving like filthy animals and have injured and knocked out of the game Danny Alfredsson with a stick-to-the-face cross-check against the boards, back of the head bounced off the boards. Another assassination move. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What do you say about that? Which brings us to Washington and Boston. Relatively civilized, all things considered. Very low scoring. Boston has no offense, apparently, and they are tied 1-1 with Washington. they should be sweeping the floor with these guys, but Washington managed to pull out a win and knot it up. New Jersey Devils versus Florida. Well, I gotta say, I'm surprised by Florida. It seems to be a team made up of the journeyman cast-offs of the entire league. They have two Red Wings, they have two of these guys, two of those guys. Steven Weiss, number 9, very impressive. Another Magic number 9. And they managed to tie it up last night, beat the Devils, making the series 1-1. And finally in the East, it brings us to Philadelphia versus Pittsburgh, the Keystone State War. And believe me, that was a war. Yesterday's game was the most exciting game I've watched all playoffs of all the games. Holy moly. Of course, Sidney Crosby can start 3 fights and never get a game misconduct, but then he's Sidney Crosby, and that sleazy, weasel little bitch can do that and get away with it because we all know he has league protection, which is what we're going to talk about in the aspect of the game coming up next. I was bleeding pretty bad from my thigh, but it weren't arterial, but I still had 4 or 5 miles to go to get back to the brothel. Good news was I still had half a bottle of Wild Eagle. That's when I knew I'd make it.
I'll tell you, it ain't easy when one of your friends gets blown into applesauce, but that's just a part of daily life when you're getting rid of bombs all day. After a day of that, only a slug of Wild Eagle will do.
It all happened so fast. Next thing I knew, it seemed like all the bikers came at me at the same time, ball peen hammers swinging. Thank God I had that bottle of Wild Eagle. I dropped 4 of them before the bottle even broke.
I never thought I'd wake up with 2 mortals, but after one night at the bar drinking Wild Eagle, I couldn't keep them away. They said they wanted a real man. Well, they got one. Repeatedly.
Wild Eagle bourbon, aged 5 years, and then insulted and beaten up before being bottled for you. Men's men. Make no mistake, this is a man's drink. No bitches allowed. Available everywhere men are. Wild Eagle bourbon, hard, violent, American, male.
Hockey is a game of far more than just teams, players, and scores and stats. It is a game of elegance, beauty, toughness, persistence, grit, and character. Each week, we will examine a different aspect of the game. Welcome back to the Magic No. 9 Hockey Broadcast. I'm John Madden. We're going to talk about an aspect of the game that goes largely unnoticed because it should be the invisible hand, and that is the league itself. All season long, we have seen the supposed and much publicized crackdown on hits to the head, crackdown on dirty shots, crackdown on cheap shots after the buzzer or when the guy doesn't have possession of the puck. All of this led by the stalwart Brendan Shanahan, a glove-dropping veteran from the bad old days of the 80s and the 90s and one of the best forwards to ever play the game, helping Detroit win several cups. That being said, apparently Gary Bettman has cut his balls right off. Maybe he cornered him in the meds room. Maybe he sent him a memo. I don't know. But St. Louis and San Jose should have had at least 2 suspensions in that game. Nothing. Not so much as a whisper. Zetterberg, Henrik Zetterberg, gets his head smashed into the glass 2 times from behind by Shea Weber, WWF style. And Gary Bettman comes out and suggests that, well, since he only landed with 2 of them, it shouldn't even be a suspension, much less a fine. He gets a $2,500 fine. The violence has been epidemic. It's like we're in the 80s again. Now, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with fighting. I do have a problem with cheap shots. I do have a problem with running the goalies. I do have a problem with a lot of the stuff that I've seen that has gone uncommented on. Now, why would the league back Nashville and not Detroit? Well, they just had to give up their Atlanta franchise. And Gary Bettman, always looking for a nice retirement home somewhere in the Sun Belt, keeps pushing that southern market. So he's going to fix the shit out of the games so that Nashville can win and they can go a little deeper into the playoffs instead of being the perennial losers that Trashville are. Now, they have a fantastic goalie, Rennie, 41 saves, great stuff. Detroit blew a bunch of breakaway shots. I would say that Nashville earned that win, but I would also say that the fix is so in, it is ridiculous. What happened to Danny Alfredson in the Rangers-Ottawa game? Unbelievable. Brent Burns elbowing a guy, I mean, just straight up, not even, no pretense. He was just going to hit the guy in the back of the head. Nothing. Not a word from Shanahan. Shanahan, completely irrelevant at this point and totally discredited. And the Toronto Star ripped him properly and fairly in an article today. So the aspect of the game we're talking about is the league fix. who gets protected and who doesn't. Now, this is an old, old thing in the league. There's always been a one or two star baseplate players who've gotten away with murder. You could never touch Gretzky or you would be ejected instantly. Nowadays, that's Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby likes to get into fights without dropping the gloves or taking his helmet off because his precious widow hands might get dirty. And of course, Sidney Crosby has league protection. He's the pretty boy poster child. Mr. I've come back from a year of concussions. I'm going to fight with my gloves on. Where did he pick that up? Did he learn that in junior league? Because that's not what men do. They drop the gloves and they square off. They don't start a fight so that one of their teammates can come in and start sucker punching a guy from behind. And then that guy can take the heat. Screw you, Sidney Crosby. Screw you, Gary Bettman. Brendan Shanahan, I am so damn disappointed in you. I am just so disappointed. So the league fix is out and in full visible effect this playoffs. Let's hope we don't have too many more players getting injured, which has already happened. Because they are not walking the walk of the talk they talked. We'll be back.
Trans-Canada bus lines.
Trans-Canada bus lines. Canada is a fantastically large and spacious country. It is wide and very far from Yukon Territories to Nova Scotia. But what really ties it all together is the smooth road of the Queen's Highway 401 and the silky smooth ride on them that you get when you ride Trans-Canada bus lines.
Mais c'est qui attache vraiment tout cela et ensemble la route lisse de la route nationale de la Reine 401. Et du trajet lisse soyeux sera que vous arrivez quand vous montez Trans-Canada Bus Line.
We at Trans-Canada Bus Lines are immensely proud of our solid, practical, and sensible service helping travelers of all nations discover the wonders of the great multicultural north, the way the pioneers and the Aboriginal peoples did on the ground, but with all the comforts that a sensible person needs, and our fares cannot be beat.
Nous à Trans-Canada Bus Line sommes énormément fiers de notre service solide, pratique et raisonnable. Les voyageurs et danses de toutes les nations découvrant les merveilles du grand node multiculturel. De les fargons, les pioneers et les jeunes aborigènes ont fait sur la terre.
So when you think Canadian travel, think Trans-Canada Bus Lines. Welcome aboard!
Ainsi quoi vous pensez le voyage canadien? Pensez Trans-Canada Bus Lines.
Accueillez à bord. This message brought to you by Trans-Canada Bus Lines and the Kamloops Metropolitan Area Tourism Board.
Ce message est porté à vous par Trans-Canada Bus Lines et le conseil de tourisme de région métropolitaine Kamloops.
Trans-Canada Bus Lines. Trans-Canada Bus Line.
Well, folks, it's time again for our guest here on Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. This week, it's somebody who knows something about something and is going to tell us all about that thing that they know something about. All right, we are back, and our guest this week is hockey neophyte but broadcasting veteran, one Mr. Anthony the Cold Box Carty.
Yes, that is I, and I is he. You got to get all biblical on you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, bring the biblical rage. Bring it. Bring the fire and the brimstone, Anthony. Let us hear. What do you know about hockey, and why are you here?
What do I know about hockey? It's just whatever you teach me, basically. I started watching it about a year ago. I liked it as a kid. I don't know. I didn't really see much of it. I liked the Blues for some reason because I liked their logo probably. That's probably what it was. You know how kids are. They just like they like whatever they see.
It's but, a pretty picture.
I'm teamless right now, so I just generally go against whatever you like. like during the regular season, it's like Avalanche. But right now, I don't know. I guess it's Trashville, as you call them. Hey, what does this song mean to you? You know that song?
No, it just sounds like some country stuff.
It's whenever Nashville scores against the Red Wings. They play that in the background. I heard that. I was like, oh, Tim McGraw, huh? I bet John hates him now, too.
No, I don't have any problem with Tim McGraw. It's not his fault. He's been, you know, co-opted by the filthy white trash of Nashville.
Hockey in Nashville doesn't seem to mix with me. I don't think of hockey.
Believe me, it doesn't
mix
with anybody who cares about hockey.
Just saying.
I mean, yeah. If you live in a place where they don't have Bridge May Ice signs, you shouldn't be playing hockey.
Bridge made ice signs, are you saying?
You know, when you go over a bridge, it says Bridge May Ice in cold weather, or Bridge May Ice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because it's too warm.
Yeah.
I get it.
Once you get south of those signs, well, the inverse is, my brother-in-law always says, I know I'm in Yankee country when I put a tortilla on my antenna and drive north till somebody asks me what it is.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, that'll cut out a lot of teams though, right now, because the whole expansion into the south, and like it's been going on for like a while. You know?
And it's near and dear to Bettman's heart. He wants that sunny retirement home, that piece of shit. So we get a team in Phoenix that has more Red Wings fans in attendance than Phoenix fans. We got a team in Florida that I could not believe probably half of that stadium was empty, and they're in the playoffs for the first time since, I think, 1996.
Some of the Panthers?
Yeah, the Florida Panthers. Yeah. I was looking at the stadium like, where are the people? Literally, there were so many. I've never seen that
many
empty seats.
They're on the beach, man. It's good weather right now. You think they're going to go into the ice hockey arena? All they care about is getting their sun cancer on, or their skin cancer from the sun, and overly tanned bodies. And
shuffleboard.
Yes.
Don't forget shuffleboard.
And no bras.
That's very big in Florida.
What? Shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard is what old people play while they wait
to die. I know what shuffleboard is, but I didn't see it when I was out there.
Oh, it's actually really fun, I gotta say.
All right.
When I stayed in St. Pete for a little while, I played it a lot.
SPF 100, man.
Yeah. Well, it does put paid the dream of Batman to have Sunshine States playing hockey. And, you know, on the one hand, I understand the fervency to spread the game, to build it into more markets, and, of course, to just convert more people to the wonder that is hockey, which is the greatest game. However, when you've had a team for 10 years that hasn't, you know, they make the playoffs and you don't even fill the stadium even close. Like, I don't know when the last time the Florida Panthers had a sellout crowd, but you would think making it into the playoffs for the first time since, I think, 1996 would at least motivate. That would be a best case scenario for motivating the fan base. And
I don't really think
I don't
Florida
see it.
In
I don't see
general.
It. I saw empty seats like nobody's business.
Florida in general with sports, except for maybe the University of Miami. That's probably like the only thing that's selling out there in
well,
Florida.
Well, yeah, they love football.
Sports fans.
Yeah, they love football.
They don't love the Dolphins. That's the pro team. It doesn't seem like it.
Well, I thought they had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers too.
Well, that's too north. That's not really Florida.
Oh, okay. So you've got the only. It's only Miami is Florida.
Yep, basically.
Well, you're wrong. You're just wrong. Tampa
no,
Bay
I'm,
Lightning.
I'm ignorant.
They,
I'm
Tampa
not
Bay
wrong.
Lightning actually has a good crowd. They have a good crowd. Yzerman's down there doing a good job on GM. They didn't make the playoffs this year, but Stamkos did score 60 goals. Congratulations, Stammer. Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on that they got such an investment in southern market teams. I mean, Phoenix has been bankrupt for like 3 years. They should have been moved back to Winnipeg. Instead, Atlanta got moved back to Winnipeg. Well, moved to Winnipeg to replace the epic failure that has been the Phoenix Coyotes, who are in the playoffs again for like the third year in a row, and still I see empty seats. I still see empty seats in their stadium.
Maybe they had less empty seats in their stadium or arena than Atlanta.
I don't know. I think the whole thing's a money laundry, but I can't be sure.
Yeah, probably. What isn't a money laundry these days?
Well, that's true. Corruption is everywhere. What do you like the most about hockey?
Seeing the Red Wings lose. Just kidding. Don't beat me up. You're bigger than me.
Yes, I am.
I know you like to come at me in front
no,
of me.
No, really. What do you like about hockey? What is it that appeals to you?
It wasn't until I went there live that I really got super into it, because there's a lot missed on TV if you're just trying to tune in. It's the speed of it. It's just like you have to be like watching nonstop, and it actually is quite exciting. I'm not sure if I really like shutout games very much, but I like to see like the high scoring and the crazy shots that go off. Like, I don't know which game I was watching. I think it actually was the Detroit game, and it was the BS plays. But like when they scored, it went off the guy's stick and off the other teammate's stick, and it went right over the shoulder of the goalie. That was a pretty wicked shot, even though it was against the Red Wings. You gotta admit it was an accident. It was an accident, but it was pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no question.
I just like seeing crazy stuff going down.
Like the
slow-mo replays. That's how I had to catch up, you know, because I'm too slow.
I particularly liked when Pavel Datsyuk put the first Red Wing goal in, and Rinne was standing in the goal crease yelling at the referee to get the fix going. You could see the ref from one angle. You could see the ref going, "What? I'm trying to throw penalties on him for, you know, interfering with Nashville's playing the game." But and then Datsyuk just came around the back, and before Rinne knew what happened, the goal, you know, boom, puck's in the net.
But what I didn't like about watching those games is there's like so many penalties.
Oh, yeah.
It's unreal how many penalties I saw. And
if the league doesn't help you beat Detroit, the chances are you're not going to beat Detroit.
It was nonstop. Like, every minute was a penalty. It was just lame. It's like they are sort of like The Red Wings in the playoffs this season are like the Raiders of football during the normal season. It's just like nonstop penalty after penalty after penalty. That's like the sort of a downfall.
Which is made all the more suspicious by the fact that we're the second least penalized team in the NHL for like 10, 15 years now. We play so clean you can eat off our sticks.
Yeah, that's what they're saying about both teams, I believe. They said both Nashville and...
This year Nashville has been very low on getting penalties, but... Not like they have been low in this playoff series. Oh, no. They've been doing, the crimes and misdemeanors they've committed are, you know, beyond count.
Like the punch and then the shove into the glass on Zetterberg, right? That's who it was done to?
Yeah, but it's a star player, and we don't want to take a star player out of the game unless he gets injured by some non-star player. And since Batman hates Detroit, that's a well-known fact. Weber gets to do that if it's, hits a guy and, hey, if he's wearing a red jersey, whatever you want. I mean, they were riding on Pavel Datsyuk's back, like pushing him down and holding him down.
The game is basically over right there.
On at least three occasions that I saw in the three games, and not a word, nothing. Lidstrom got hooked so bad the stick was practically wrapped all the way around him, nothing. And it was on the approach to a goal, so it could have been a penalty shot.
You don't recut that?
No, I'll edit it.
All right.
So, in short, total bullshit fixing going on for Nashville and the Detroit
series. At least in game two.
Shanahan's powerless to do anything in the face of Bettman's corruption, which is an annual event. Everyone from Detroit is used to this. When you listen to the commentators on NBC, the Nashville broadcasting cocksuckers, it's all, oh, Nashville, 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 Nashville. But we're used to, you know, ridiculously biased coverage by anybody who isn't from Detroit. That's just normal. We have always beat the league and all the teams that we had to play whenever we've gotten the cup. A lot of teams like, say, Anaheim Ducks, the Carolina Hurricanes when they won the cup, those are like league handout cups. They shouldn't even have them.
What are you talking about? Mighty Ducks rule, man. Emilio! Estevez. That's it.
As a movie? Maybe. As a sports team? It's an abomination.
I don't even remember the movie yet. And I was quoting the wrong movie anyways. I was quoting Night at the Roxbury.
So, now, assuming that this fixes in and it's all about growing the markets, now we look at California. San Jose has been able to get away with damn near murder with... No disciplinary, nothing, nothing. And L.A., well, admittedly, L.A. has been playing much cleaner, but they seem to be benefiting from this westward expansion of the market fix. If the fix is always going in because of the market, then we should be able to see the fix for Phoenix, the fix for Nashville, the fix for Florida, the fix for L.A., and the fix for San Jose. The edges. The only one where I haven't seen any fixing other than Sidney Crosby being untouchable and Malkin, you know, you can't even call them hardly on a penalty, even when they deserve it. Even when they start fights, they got protection. You're never going to see Sidney Crosby get a game misconduct no matter what he does, even though he never drops his gloves when he fights. Because I didn't fight. I'm defiant. Nah. Screw you, Sidney. Your fucking last year's news. Claude Giroux outscored you and outperformed you all year. You're a punk. You're a sleazy weasel just like Thornton and Backus. You're yesterday's news. Get over it.
Hey, John, tell me how you really feel.
Only all the time. But the Battle of the Keystone State has been incredible. Incredible. Probably three more players for Pittsburgh should have been tossed in that game. That being said, I don't think that anything that I really saw in the Pittsburgh-Philadelphia battle so far has merited suspension. I think it's all been very much straight up in your face. Now, Sidney should have been kicked from the game a couple of times, but not suspended. You know, he's a sleazy little bitch, and that's sort of who he is. And so, you know, that's not serious enough. That's not like the New York trying to kill Alfredson. Like, putting a stick right in your face, that is serious business. You know, elbow to the back of the head like Brent Burns, that is serious business. You can really hurt somebody. And the Gagliardi hit on McDonald that cracked his helmet and nothing gets said. He has a history of concussions, and Gagliardi hits him way after the fact, just smears him on the boards, And nothing, not a word, not a peep out of Bettman or nothing. So obviously the fix is in for California and the South. But those guys should have been suspended. Burns and certainly Gagliardi, if not Burns, should have caught at least a game, if not two or three. And I would have given Gagliardi two games minimum, Burns one game. But in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, I toss them, yeah. Suspensions, and I actually didn't see any. I saw a lot of fighting. I saw a lot of knuckles getting dusted up. I think that was awesome. Very exciting. Have you watched any of those games?
Oh, the
Philadelphia, the
no,
Flyers?
No, I haven't caught that one. I just been
don't miss game four because it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you said you think the Flyers are going to just sweep it, right?
I do. The Flyers have never lost a series in which they got the first two games in the history of the club. They get the first two games, they won every single time. So that's that's something to be said. And I would say that the Penguins are in full meltdown mode. I'm sure Cindy was on the phone to Uncle Gary as soon as the damn game was got, maybe even before then. You give me a fix. You're supposed to protect me, Gary.
Yeah.
But didn't do much good. Philadelphia's deep. They got a lot more depth than people give them credit for.
So Philadelphia's sweeping. The Kings are on their way to a sweep against Canucks, which is like the upset of the playoffs so far. Number
huge,
eight team
huge
against the number one team. No one thought.
Upset.
They thought it was going to be the other way around. I'm sure everyone probably thought that the Canucks were going to take it, maybe lose one game in the whole series. And now they've lost three straight and about to be eliminated.
Yeah, the Kings are playing a very, very interesting style of hockey. They're not actually checking much. They're just standing so close to all – they are sticking so close to all the Canuck players, they can't do anything. It's like some sort of Tai Chi harassment hockey. Like, Vancouver just could not get organized last night. They could barely get a decent entry into the zone. LA was just up in them like a hive, like just a swarm of bees. They were very, very busy. I mean, it's a lot like how I saw Florida playing against the Devils, which was so aggressively defensive as to be really pretty boring. You know, the first two periods of that game were just, Yonsville. But they managed to put three goals in that time.
Yeah.
And, Florida just out-hustled them. The Devils looked like they were asleep for the first two periods. I mean, even though they had a nice little two-goal rally in the third, you aren't going to the second round if you're playing sleepy. We played sleepy last year against 2 years ago especially. We played really sleepy the first two games against San Jose. Detroit did. And it cost us. Boom, that was it. They came to life in game three, and that's just too late. You can't do that. You got to hit hard and hit first, not the way the Rangers are hitting Ottawa, which is dirty and filthy and should be suspensions, but aggressive hustle, win those puck battles, dig it out in the corners harder than the other guy. You got to chase everything down. I mean, full speed. If you don't empty the tank, you don't deserve a Stanley Cup, much less to continue in the playoffs.
True. So out of all these teams, who's the team that's impressing you the most though in the playoffs so far?
Well,
he said Kings are playing boring. It's a boring game.
Boring but effective.
But effective.
Boring but effective. I think.
But can boring but effective be the most impressive to you? That's the question. Or do you think it's the Flyers that's the most impressive?
They're not. Right now in the East, certainly it's the Flyers. They are playing electric, high scoring, super aggressive. Empty the tank. Throw down the gloves. Beat your ass. Kind of. They're playing Stanley Cup level hockey.
So, for sure.
And they are taking the Pittsburgh Penguins apart piece by piece.
If you had to guess unbiasedly right now, who do you have winning the whole thing? It's hard to say because I know you don't want to bet against the Red Wings, you know. But
no, I don't.
But if you had to like call it unbiasedly.
And the Detroit-Nashville series is far from over. We can take them.
Yeah.
Whether we will depends on how hard Gary is willing to fix the games, which history shows pretty hard. But in the East, I will go this far. In the East, I see the conference final being, I think it should be Flyers-Boston.
Mm-hmm.
If Boston can get its offense
Pick it
restarted.
Up.
If they can't get their offense restarted, then I think it'll probably be the Rangers and Philadelphia. That may not even come about because of the reseeding that happens in the second round. I don't know, but... That's another discussion. In the West, I still say the St. Louis Blues are really legitimately the best team in the West. San Jose beat them by an ass whisker with the fix coming down from Gary in double overtime the first time, and then got totally shut out the second round and got their asses kicked, even in spite of dirty, dirty assassination plays like Gagliardi, who's a throwaway bum goon they could afford to just throw in the shit can. He didn't care if he gets suspended because he's a half-ass player to begin with. Vlasic scoring on himself, I think, was the most funny thing in the whole round of the playoffs so far. I think Vlasic putting in a puck in his own net, I think that was absolutely hysterical. Now, they might not feel that way in San Jose, but I think that was just beautiful to me. I loved that. The shame, of course, is that Halak got injured by his own guy. That's tough, you know. So San Jose commits the sin against their own team of scoring, and St. Louis commits the sin against their own team of knocking out their goalie. Unfortunately for San Jose, Brian Elliott is as good or better than Halak, so they're not going to be...
Hey, how can you say that there's a fix for San Jose but not for St. Louis when they're about the same latitude?
They're not.
You don't think
St.
so?
St. Louis is a second six team, and they're Midwestern, and... the fix is not in for them. Ken Hitchcock has regenerated that
sort
team in
south.
A way that no, it's not. It's,
Midwest.
It's exactly the Midwest.
Middle.
They call it the gateway to the West. That's what the arch is all about.
Yeah, I know.
No, they're really a trashy city to
only,
be honest.
It's only like an hour
I've
away
been
from
there
Nashville.
15, 20 times, and they hour sort of
two.
St. Louis kind of sucks.
Yeah, I was just there earlier this year. It was pretty boring.
One of the crime capitals of the world right now.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Yeah, St. Louis and Memphis. Are the most dangerous cities in the U.S., which is saying something for coming from Detroit fan. You know, we always pretty respectable in that area. In the West, I think St. Louis and, of course, Detroit. Chicago has not impressed me. L.A. has, but I don't know that they've got the stuff to get past San Jose or St. Louis. I don't know. I just don't know if they have the gas in the tank to go the full distance. So in the West, I would say St. Louis versus Detroit in the final. Well, I would say this. Whoever wins, Detroit or Nashville, is going to the Conference Cup. That's what I think.
All right. That's fair enough.
And if I had to pick between a St. Louis and a Philadelphia, that's like the ultimate offense versus the ultimate defense, I'd say Philadelphia could take St. Louis if it came down to it. And I think Detroit could totally take Boston if it came down to it. I don't think Nashville could take I don't think Nashville could take Boston or Phoenix, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So no matter what Nashville does, they're not winning the Stanley Cup.
In your opinion.
Even if they get past us, they don't have what it takes.
It depends on how many heads they can bash into the wall and get away with.
Well, the higher you get, the more head bashing comes back your way. And I don't think Philadelphia is going to go easy on that. I think Philadelphia is going to not take any head bashing shit. The whole Broad Street Bullies came about because the league allowed Montreal and the other original six teams to do anything they wanted to the second six teams. And eventually the Montreal Canadiens, that's Gary Bettman's people, came up and sucker punched a Flyer from behind, broke his jaw, knocked out a bunch of teeth, ended his career. And the owner of the Flyers said that will never happen to another Flyer as long as I live. And he said, the league won't let me get the good players because the fix is in and always has been. But I can get the meanest players. And he went out and he rounded up the most psychopathic fucking enforcers and a couple of good talents that nobody thought were good enough as far as injuries. Bobby Clark was diabetic. They didn't think he could play. He turned out to be a Hall of Famer. Phenomenal. But then he surrounded him with people like, you know, Red Kelly and... Dave Schultz, Dave the Hammer Schultz, and they just beat their way through the original six, through the league. Like, doesn't do much good for the fix to be in if Sidney Crosby just gets his face pounded to a bloody pulp. You know, can't protect him once his ass is beat. So that's what they did, and in 74 and 75, they got the cups back-to-back, and that was all their reaction against the league fix. So they've been ready and willing and able to counter the league fix for a long time. Pretty much that's the tradition of their team, is to be tough enough to get through that. That's why I kind of like the Flyers. So, any other questions about hockey or what's going on?
No, I think I covered all my bases.
Bases is in baseball. We don't cover bases.
I covered all my periods. That just sounds gross.
Yeah.
And go Nashville.
Yeah, right. If you actually meant that, I might be bothered.
Go Avalanche next season.
Yeah, that one's just for Alex Herter. Go Avalanche to the couch and watch the playoffs. We'll be back.
Today is the day, the first day of the rest of your life, and you need to get those chakras in line, dude. Sammy's Ice Phoenix Store and Mystical Oracle Smoke Shop and Chakra Alignment Center is here for you, man. Located on a primo ley line in Berkeley, Sammy's has all the supplies you need to straighten out your whole vibe. Incense, salvia, pipes, papers, crystals, elemental wizards, Rastafarians, bongs, cans, paper clips, mats, ashtrays, lighters, matches, mugs, cups, shot glasses, stickers. So Sammy's Ice Phoenix Store, Mystical Oracle Smoke Shop, and Chakra Place in Berkeley and on Googly Dudes. Discount for hot chicks.
Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast is unparalleled in its depth and in its insights into the teams of the NHL. This is Team Profile. Welcome back to the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. Time for our Team Profile this week. The opponent of the week, the Trashville Predators. Let's start at the blue line with Captain Shea Weber. This guy is the key to the power play. Most of his action is in generating rebounds off of two-time two-shot goalies with the second hardest slap shot in the NHL. It is a thing of terror if you're trying to block a shot to get in front of Shea Weber. That being said, he is also a barbarian goon who showed his willingness to pull the sleazy kind of Joe Thornton-esque David Backe-style goon shit when he was smashing Henrik Zetterberg's face into the glass from behind. Of course, at the end of the game, so he could get away with it. Sleazeball. Fantastic D-man. Sleazeball. Ryan Suter, alternate captain, much more conventional, a native of Madison, Wisconsin. He has shown grit and skill all the way from one end of the ice to the other. This guy cannot be underestimated, which brings us to Kevin Klein, the Kitchener native, who really, I got to give it up, the guy was fantastic. He totally cheated Emerton out of a shot. He was pulling some ballet splits on the ice. He's got a mohawk and a crazy beard. I like his style. And he got a goal. The guy is something else. He has really shown himself to be a playoff player. He's having a good run. Now, whether he's just hot or whether this is really who he is, too early to tell. Then we get to Roman Josi, the man whose shot concussed and shattered the jaw of Patrick Eaves, depriving us of his services for the year. Josi is an offensive-minded, as most of the Nashville Predator D is, an offensive-minded slapshot freak. He has not been wildly effective so far, but he has put a lot of pucks on the net. Jack Hillen? Not so much. Hal Gill, out with an injury, could be a very, very decisive force. He's 6'7", 241, ex-Canadien, so the league loves him. And that guy is a force to be reckoned. He is dangerous. He was a late-season acquisition. And, you know, we're glad he's not on the ice. Ryan Ellis, journeyman mediocre. Francis Bouillon, however, has been a speed freak. This guy is quick. He is really fast and really, really good at back checking. He's also willing to jump up in the hole and get dirty down low. Bouillon is someone you got to watch. He's also a hitter, and he will smear you if you give him the chance. Now, as far as goalies, it's Pekka Rinne, and he seems to have no ability to get tired. He does not wear out. He's a wall. He's 6'5". He's Finnish, so he's as stubborn as a mule. And he's, you know, one of the top three goalies in the NHL, no question about it. He's consistent, ruthlessly consistent. And to get past him, you got to hit him with something that gets a rebound, and you got to beat him two times. He's a two-shot goalie. That's what Babcock said. I couldn't agree more. Now, in the forwards, Gabriel Bork is a sleazy thug. Rimouski, Quebec, Canada. Native, number 57. Watch out for this guy. Basically, if you got a name Bork, you're going to play dirty as much as you can and fast when you can't. Martin Erat should be more of a force, has been largely neutralized so far. Mike Fisher, alternate captain, This guy seems to really enjoy getting up on people's backs and riding them. He likes to hit from behind. He likes to go for the cheap shot. And he has a particular boner to go mess up Pavel Datsyuk, which he has been pretty effective in doing since he can't get called for anything thanks to the fix. Paul Gostad, number 28, late season acquisition, playoff caliber faceoff specialist. He is the Nashville version of Manny Malhotra. He's not so good once things get going, but he gets that puck three times out of four, and that's, you got to have that guy somewhere. Matt Halyshuk, mediocre. Patrick Hornquist, he, however, is their crease man. This guy has patterned his game after Tomas Holmstrom, his hero and fellow Swede, and he is a pain in the ass. No two ways about it. He's gritty, he's tough, and you better watch out for this guy. He will get down low, he will get dirty, and he will mess up your goalie if you give him a chance. He has no problem with pulling a dirty shot here and there if he can get away with it. Then we got 46 and 74, the Kostitsyn brothers, reunited, and it feels so good. However, they have been, instead of Kostitsyn, Sergei, winning the game, or putting in the third goal, which guaranteed the game, Andre, not as effective as his brother. Sergei has really been doing some work, putting in some good work. Andre seems, maybe they have a sort of a brother thing going on. There's a little rivalry there. It seems like when you look at the other brothers in the league, Sedin's particularly, Daniel does most of the scoring, Henrik does most of the setups. In the Kostitsyn brothers, we see Andre being more defensive and Sergei being more offensive, and that seems to be working out okay. David Legwand, always dangerous. Always dangerous. And he's from Detroit, so you know he's got grit. You would have thought he'd have been a larger force on the ice, but the fact is he ties us up. He is drawing a lot of coverage because he is a known threat. Brian McGrattan, not particularly exciting so far. We shall see. Alexander Radulov, number 47, acquired late season in a very unusual deal. He was allowed by the league to come back from Russia. I'm not sure what kind of lawyer shit allowed that happen after the trade deadline, but like I said, the fix is in for Nashville. Expand that southern market, Gary, you piece of shit. Craig Smith, very surprising. Very surprising. A grinder, big in the corners, big hitter. We are very, beware of this guy. He is not getting much press, and he is not getting a lot of attention, but number 15 should be marked. Also, number 13, Nick Spaulding, who has been a shot-blocking freak and amazingly good on the back check. Jordan Tutu, healthy scratch for some of the games, has come in and immediately started putting penalties all over the place. Some of the only penalties they've been able to get called have come at the hands of Jordan Tutu, who is a seal blood drinking Eskimo, and that's pretty awesome. The guy's got a lot of enthusiasm, not a lot of finesse. Colin Wilson, likewise, not a lot of finesse. And Brandon Yip, the guy's just, I don't like him. Don't like him at all. He's a fourth line, he's a low line grinder, bit of a goon, likes to play sleazy. He'd fit in real well at San Jose. As far as the backup goalies, you got Anders Lindback and Chet Picard, who no one's ever heard of. Anders Lindback would be the go-to guy should Rinne get hurt, but I do not see that grizzly bear from Finland going down anytime soon. And I do forecast that Rinne will be in basically every single playoff game for as long as the Nashville Predators are in the playoffs. On the coaching, well, you've got that thing-looking bastard. He looks like he's the missing member of the Fantastic Four. Barry Trotz, the only coach Nashville has ever known, and it is definitely he who has got the fix with Batman, because it is he who is calling for the goon stuff. There is no two ways about that. You watch him on the bench, and you see how he's reacting when they pull some sleazy stuff. It's good job, boys. Good job, boys. Good job, boys. So, Barry, I hope you lose. I hope your crooked shit comes out. You are a good coach, but your general manager is better than you are. That's it for the Nashville Predators. Hopefully we will not see them in the second round, but they are who they are because they've been very, very good, and they have a lot of depth, And that Rini bastard is just monstrous. Monstrous hard to score on. So, we shall see. We'll be back.
Tom's Donuts and Hardware is a new idea from a new businessman. Tom Thompsonstone came up with a heck of an idea one day while enjoying a big juicy cruller sitting on his roof, which he was re-shingling.
Now why the heck do I have to go across town to get some good donuts after I pick up my roofing supplies?
Well, that's when it hit him.
Sure would be nice if I could grab a few packs of shingles, a couple packs of nail belts for the old nail gun, and a dozen Bavarians and jellies all in one stop.
Now the more Tom thought about it, the more he liked the sound of that, so he opened up Tom's Donuts and Hardware. Conveniently located at the corner of Roosevelt and 22nd Street, within sight of the 10, 202, and 51 interchange.
We got the tastiest jellies, bear claws, and crullers this side of the Mississippi. And this week, rakes and lawnmowers are all 50% off. Stop by on your way to work for some donuts and coffee, or pick up supplies to build yourself a new deck. This week, also on sale, all Holmanized wood, first cut free.
Tom's Donuts and Hardware, 2196 East Roosevelt Street at 22nd Street in Phoenix, Arizona. Stop by and let's build something yummy.
Coming up next week, Magic Number 9 Hockey Podcast is going to examine what will be and what will be. And we are back here on the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am John Madden. With me is my guest for this week, Mr. Anthony Coldbox Carty, professional wrestling manager.
And ring announcer.
And ring announcer.
Depending where I am on any given Saturday.
Give us a taste of that ring announcer flavor.
Oh, man.
Come on. There's a lot of crossover audience between wrestling and hockey.
Give me a nickname for yourself.
The Detroit Demolition Man.
On his way to the ring right now, weighing it out. Let's see. I got to be nice here. 225 pounds from Detroit, Michigan. He is the Demolition Man. What did you say? That's a long-ass name. I need to
Demolition
write this down.
Demolition Man. That's what they call Thomas Holmstrom.
All right. He is the Demolition Man, John Madden. You like that?
Yeah, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. If it makes me want to go stand in the crease and deflect shots on the power play like our beloved Homer.
If I practice it more, I'd get your name down in one take. But
well, be thankful I don't have a crazy Scandinavian name or something.
I usually have it written down on a note card because that's how like the pros do it, so that they don't mess up. But sometimes when I was first starting and the people didn't know, they like to play jokes on you. And there's like this tag team called Circumsexy. It's like one part Jew and one part party boy.
What?
Yeah, that's their name. And they wanted me to announce them as weighing a combined weight of 420 pounds, being accompanied to the ring by. The Z-Man, Brian Zane, they are the only tag team in professional wrestling that are sponsored by the Yaz birth control pill, Circumsexy. That's what they had me write down. No, it's, yeah, all of that just for their intro. I'm like, good God. it's always they're always trying to rib the new guy.
Or perhaps Oi Gewalt.
Yes, sure. half of that.
Oi. Well, all right, game's coming up. L.A. versus Vancouver. Can Vancouver come back and put some wins in their column, or is it sweep time in Hollywood?
I'd say just go for the sweep because King sounds more manlier than whales. Just saying. It's royalty.
But kings don't hunt whales.
Yeah, so what? They got peasants to do it for them.
Well, that's true, and Hollywood does have a lot of kings and an enormous number of peasants who do all the actual work. However,
you have to go from the unbiased non-fan spot. They're like, oh, King sounds cooler.
You know,
royalty, money.
I would never have believed they would have gotten the first three, and the odds of losing a series after you put three in the bank.
In LA? Or are they
yes,
in Vancouver?
They're in LA. Oh, yeah. They can wrap it up tonight in LA.
They're eating whale blubber tonight.
Or
tomorrow night, I guess. Right? That's when the game is?
It'll be tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, whale blubber on the Kings.
Or will it? Let's see. No, it's Wednesday. On Wednesday. L.A. versus Vancouver on Wednesday.
So far out, man. That's a long wait.
Yeah, that's like a whole 2 days away and stuff. Wow. Time travel and stuff.
That's all right. We're old.
Today we have St. Louis versus San Jose, Boston and Washington, and the Rangers versus Ottawa. Go Ottawa. I hate the Rangers. They are the worst of the first original six teams. They're scumbags.
Hey, you know,
they're New Yorkers. It goes without saying that they're scumbags.
You were mentioning like the NFL or the NHL being like the WWE. Actually, you said F, but that's okay. I'll excuse you on
all
that
right,
one.
All right, so I saw the first WrestleMania. I'll call it whatever I want.
The New York Rangers. Did you know one of their main players way back in the day is a WWE superstar's father?
No way.
Chris Jericho. His real name is Chris Irvin. Is it ring a bell?
Well, that explains a good deal about their defensive play.
One of the best bad guys in the WWE.
And then it's appropriate that his kid's on the Rangers, who are some of the best bad guys in the NHL. Yeah. Oh, his dad was on the Rangers. Yeah. Okay. So he learned to be a bad guy in wrestling from being a bad guy in hockey, his dad. Yep. Okay. So today we got the Rangers versus Ottawa. Smart money says still the Rangers, but I don't know. Ottawa. Without Alfredson, that's going to hurt. So I'm going to say probably the Rangers are going to win, much though I don't like to say that. Who do you pick?
I have to go with Ottawa just because you told me to bet on them yesterday.
Well, you won, didn't you?
No, that was 2 days ago when you told me to bet on Boston.
Yeah, and you won, didn't you?
Yep, I won that time.
All right.
But you're saying New York
now. And
if
you'd have bet yesterday on Ottawa, you would have won, right?
No, on today's games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
We're getting mixed up here now.
Okay, we're all scrambled. Also today, Boston versus Washington. I'm still picking Boston. I believe the Bees have still got it in them. They're still healthy, and Washington is playing a disjointed game. I think the only reason Washington won that game was that Boston just didn't have it all together. So really, it's not so much a question of Washington winning as Boston allowing themselves to lose. Who's your pick?
Boston, come on.
Yeah, totally. Also, St. Louis versus San Jose. We are in the Shark Tank now. The home ice advantage and the league fix is all on San Jose's side.
Yeah, but San Jose scores against themselves, so you got to go with St. Louis.
Yeah, I still would say St. Louis. Yeah, I think St. Louis is going to be really fired up by the fights that they successful ass-whippings they delivered. In spite of the dirty, sleazy hits that San Jose was playing, Ken Hitchcock's boys stood up and fought like men. They didn't pull this Joe Thornton sleazy weasel assassination crap like Gagliardi and Burns. Like, the fact that I always thought Burns was better than that. Obviously, he's been hanging out with Joe Thornton too long because this elbow in the back of the head to a guy who doesn't even have the puck, that's just scum. That's a scum shot. You know, you want to put an elbow into somebody's face? Hey, they called Gordie Howe Mr. Elbows, all right? You do it to their face. You come up and you put it right in there. You know, that's how a man plays hockey. San Jose are not playing like men. St. Louis are playing like men. And Ken was very happy with his boys, and they won 3-0. And Brian Elliott is no joke, so I'm picking St. Louis.
Yep.
You too?
Yeah. It's just too funny watching San Jose score on themselves. And if they're that discombobulated.
And Vlasic's a really good D-man, too. He's very underrated, but, man, he just bricked it. Yeah. That's not how you clear the crease, buddy. Your puck's supposed to go the other way, you know. Well, them's the breaks, bud. So tomorrow, Tuesday, we have Florida versus New Jersey. Who's your pick?
Let's just go New Jersey, because
I would say New Jersey, too. I think if they can recover, they certainly are a better team on the whole. And Brodeur is Brodeur. It's hard to screw with the all-time winningest goalie.
But Florida surprised us before, so they might do it again. But you never know.
Could be.
It's hockey. Anything can happen.
Shit, they're not exactly going to get much of a boost from a home team advantage when half their seats are empty because of this insane delusion that hockey can be sold in Florida.
Maybe you have the mics on the crowd, and so it comes across louder on the PA system.
I think they run tapes of full arenas because there were not enough people in there to make the noise that they had coming over the PA system. I think it's all fake.
That's how WCW got Goldberg over. They had fake people
really?
Chanting Goldberg at first. No one was chanting that crap before.
They just piped the chant through the speakers?
Yeah, through the TV speakers, and so people would start going there chanting Goldberg.
That sounds exactly like what I was. I swear I recognize some of that canned applause in Florida. Yeah, Florida, let's go, baby. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, it's probably like that.
Vaguely unintelligible team chant. Yeah, I think it's all a big put on. So I'm going to go with New Jersey. They are a cup-winning team. They do have, I think, better depth. And if they can just get their thumb out of their ass and wake the hell up, they can easily put the Panthers in their place. As miraculous as that season has been, they're not the Devils. I don't think so. Nashville versus Detroit tomorrow. Now, I know you want to pick Nashville because it's funny to go against the Red Wings. but do you really think they are a better team?
No. No, the Red Wings. I'll pick them over to Nashville any day of the week. They've just gotten bad calls. It all depends on the officiating of the game,
yep.
Which is going to be against Detroit. But how?
Oh yeah, yeah, it will.
But still, we'll see. That's what it's going to come down to.
I agree. I think that the only way Nashville beats Detroit is with the fix. I think that's the only way Nashville has beat Detroit is with the fix. And even with the fix, by the skin of their balls, have they beat us. Phoenix versus Chicago. Phoenix, the scrappy first-round perennial losers who always give everybody they play a lot more trouble, but ultimately come to cropper. I got to go with the Blackhawks on this one. I think the Blackhawks, and I think without Mike Smith, the Phoenix, they're in deep trouble. I think Shaw getting suspended at the cost of them losing their best goalie. In the brutal equation of war, that's a good trade for Blackhawks.
I'm amazed that the Phoenix arena can have that good of air conditioning to keep it cold enough to have the ice in there.
I know, right? Well, they pile bags of ice on the roof.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. man, it's so devilishly hot there. But I'll just go with the Blackhawks as well, just to make Marty Masters happy.
Yeah, that's right. Hello, Marty Masters out there, wherever you are. Go Blackhawks, at least against Phoenix.
Yes.
Which brings us to Rangers Ottawa
again.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
Well, we'll see.
I think that depends on how things go.
Yeah.
And then Pittsburgh Philadelphia. I see a sweep. I see Sidney Crosby. I think that the ice grows thick in Philadelphia when it is covered in the tears of Malkin and Crosby. I think that the tears of little Cindy, the non-glove-dropping little bitch, sleazeball, I think he makes the Flyers strong. And he was crying all kinds of different ways. No, we're not frustrated. We're totally going to compete, and they're going to come back, and we're going to win! Uncle Gary said so. I think Philadelphia is the best chance of an honest hockey team winning the Stanley Cup this year. Honestly, they seem like they have the will to win and the willingness to get their hands dirty that it takes to beat an NHL league fix by Batman. I'm picking Philadelphia for a sweep, and they're playing in Philadelphia, and that helps them a lot.
But then again, it isn't that far apart, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, so I'm sure there's going to be a grip of Pittsburgh fans showing up as well. It's not that far of a travel.
They will show up. They will be grossly outnumbered. Philadelphia, did you know that still to this day, the Stanley Cup parade in Philadelphia, when they won their first cup in 74, well, it would have
still
been
still going
in
on right now.
No, but it was the largest event, the largest public event in the nation's history. More people showed up for that parade than anything anybody's ever done
anywhere. The Million
anywhere.
Man March?
Yeah, the Million Man March, which was like 200,000 people. Yeah.
It's a million men, man.
That's what the poster said. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I can count. Not who, to a million you can.
Who really is counting
they aren't
that, though?
There.
Someone in a helicopter looking down like, okay, 1, 2, 3.
Well,
four.
You know, those crowd things are always a little bit iffy.
Math equation.
But when you look at the footage, the films from that parade, I mean, they were dangling off the roofs of every building, out the every window. It was insane. It was like somebody won World War II again.
It seemed like there was a lot of people out in San Francisco when the Giants won the World Series.
And that was an awesome, awesome day. But I'm telling you, Philadelphia practically went into... I'd never seen anything like it.
I saw people falling out of trees at that Giants parade. Like the tree branches snapping and them falling.
Yeah.
I'm like, you dumbass.
But still, it's a smaller city and it's a smaller amount of area. And
yeah,
it's you just look at the films. It's something else. So Philadelphia, what I saw in the first battle in Philadelphia was a solid orange wall in the stands. Like, I don't think I saw any Penguins fans.
Yellow sort of looks like orange.
No, not really. No. They love their team in Philly.
There's a filter on those cameras.
It's a great hockey
John.
Team.
There's a filter on those cameras.
The Batman cam, where it only finds Pittsburgh supporters. Only people waving, I love you, Cindy. Have my baby. He will if he ever has some nuts. Yeah.
I'll go for the upset. I'll just call Pittsburgh just for one game. And then
you think they'll get one game?
Maybe.
I hope they don't, but it's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, if they could actually put it together. But
any given day.
Those teams hate each other, and I think Philadelphia has a more noble tradition of hatred than Pittsburgh.
Stronger fist.
Yeah, and a much stronger fist and a much quicker willingness to use it eye to eye. I mean, after a certain amount of sleazy cheap shots do not break the will of the other guy, and every sleazy cheap shot you throw, he comes back with a, you know, fist in your face like a man straight up, toe to toe. You start getting really frustrated. You're like, well, our sleazy cheating isn't working. We're never going to win. Wah! It shows immaturity. It shows a lack of discipline. It shows that Dan Bylsma's babies. Yeah, there's a good name. Bylsma's babies aren't getting it done. They're not getting it done. And eight goals. Every time Penguins would score, the Flyers would score right back with almost like in almost instantly.
Yeah.
In several occasions, within a few seconds, the Flyers had one in the back of their net. Like, they would take time out from beating the shit out of the Penguins to go score a couple of goals. I mean, a 8-4? That is a huge, brutal punishment. I mean, they whipped the crap out of them. And Fleury got pulled, so their goalie is having a meltdown. And obviously, their second goalie, Johnson, is nothing to talk about. I don't see how the hell they're supposed to pull a...
Yeah, you don't have a weird name. You're not good at hockey. Johnson? Come on, that's too average.
Yeah, L.A. Jonathan Quick. Best name ever for a goalie. You got to give him that. Yeah. And he is phenomenal. He is a phenomenal goalie. So is Pecorine from Nashville. I mean, there's no denying the talent of a lot of the guys on the Nashville team, but winning with the fix.
His name's Pecker?
Hey, yeah, no, it's Pecorine. He's a 6'5" tall Finnish wall who is very, very hard to beat on a good day. And the guy who's been really decisive for Nashville as far as what they've been doing against Detroit has been Paul Gostad, because they've been winning the faceoffs that allow them to take away our puck control advantage. Also, I hate to say it, but Lidstrom has been playing like Erickson, not like Lidstrom. And we haven't had him on the penalty kill because of his bad ankle, which apparently still has not healed. Take away Darren Helm, our pit bull, and our high-speed shorthanded goal guy, basically Draper Part 2. And, you know, the Red Wings have some serious problems. I mean, because, as I said, we don't just have to beat Nashville, we have to beat the league. Yep. And that's tough. Now, on the other side of the ice, Hal Gill, the monster brute cup winner from Canadiens who got moved down to Nashville, and Alexander Radulov, their super high-powered Russian acquisition, have not, well, Gill is gone, and Radulov has been playing like he's the only one on the ice. No teamwork coming out of that guy. Without the fix being in, Nashville would have been dead meat yesterday. But Uncle Gary wants that southern market, so it is what it is. That's always been a part of hockey, always will be. At the end of the day, you know, I have the privilege, I get the job of calling it like it is. Those guys have to win it like it is, and that's a lot tougher, but that's why the Red Wings are the greatest collection of human beings ever gathered together for any single endeavor in the history of human beings on planet Earth.
I still think WrestleMania is
21
better.
Years in a row, playoffs, in spite of everything the league can throw at them. WrestleMania.
That's the best collection of people.
Didn't Bob Probert go and do wrestling?
Bob Probert?
Yeah, didn't he do a wrestling career after hockey?
I don't know who that is.
I guess he didn't.
Is he a comedian?
Oh, wait, no, he did, like, Ultimate Fighting Championship or some such.
Oh, maybe.
No, he was the quintessential Detroit enforcer in the 80s.
Yeah,
and
he would
beat the hell out of anything a woman born. I think he still holds the record for the number of penalty minutes in a single season.
Fun times.
Yeah, we love him. Rest in peace, Bob. Rest in peace. All right, that's about all we've got time for. This time, we'll see you again Monday next week after another round of mayhem. This is the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am John Madden. Thank you to my guest, Mr. Anthony Carty.
Yes, you're welcome. I'm glad I could shed my knowledge on you, which is not very much. But yeah. It's fun times.
Much fun. Much fun. And you're learning, young butterfly. Soon you will be a caterpillar.
Yes. Go Nashville.
Yeah, I know that's backwards.
Yes.
But so is rooting for Nashville.
That's backwards.
All right. We'll see you next week. Face off!